The St. Lawrence Seaway began as a dream to make the Great Lakes as important a shipping destination as the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans and Gulf of Mexico seaboards. In fact, Seaway boosters used to call the Great Lakes the fourth coast of the United States. But when the array of locks and channels was built in the 1950s, Congress assured East Coast interests that a shipping route between the Atlantic Ocean and America's heartland wouldn't hurt their business, Minnesota Congressman Jim Oberstar.
The Seaway locks would be built to no greater dimension than the largest inland waterway locks of the 1930s.
In other words, the Seaway was outdated before it was built. Today, less than 30% of the world's cargo ships can squeeze into the Seaway's channel. The Army Corps of Engineers study is a first step to change that. It says the Seaway could generate up to $1.5 billion a year, more than it is now, if larger ships, the ones that carry containers that fit right onto trucks and trains, could reach ports in the Midwest. Oberstar says that would mean an economic boon for Great Lakes states.
Those are good jobs. Those are longshoremen jobs, and that economic activity means significant business for Great Lakes port cities.
So along with other politicians and shippers in the Midwest, Oberstar wants the Corps to take the next step, a more detailed study called a feasibility study. It would look at the nuts and bolts of expansion and would cost some $20 million. But downstream, on the St. Lawrence River in northern New York, critics say any plans for expansion have a fatal flaw. Under a blazing sun in the part of the St. Lawrence River known as the Thousand Islands, Stephanie Weiss fuels up her boat at a gas dock. She pushes off and weaves among literally thousands of pine-covered islands that give the region its name.
You can see how narrow things are and how close the islands are to each other.
Weiss directs the environmental group Save the River that's trying to stop Seaway expansion. We stop in the part of the river channel called the American Narrows. It's like the Seaway's bottleneck. Ocean-going freighters the length of two football fields thread through here. To make room for anything bigger, Weiss says, might mean blasting away some of these islands and the homes perched on them.
And I can't help noticing that there's this enormous rock in between the Great Lakes and the ocean, and it's called it's the Laurentian Shield, and it is what makes these islands. To pretend that this is just a coast that needs to be developed is unrealistic.
Weiss says the idea of a fourth coast, with ports like Chicago and Duluth rivaling those of New York City and San Francisco, is ridiculous. Environmental groups in the U.S. and Canada, like Great Lakes United and Great Lakes Waterkeepers, are also opposing expansion. And they say the Corps' study frames the debate unfairly. It doesn't factor in environmental and social costs, the groups say would make the project seem less attractive. Things like rising pollution, sensitive wildlife habitat, plummeting water levels. The Corps' project manager, Wayne Schloop, says those things would be addressed in the feasibility study. Stopping before that, he says, means letting the system's locks and channels waste away.
So somebody has to make a decision. Is it in the federal interest to let the system degrade, or is it in the federal interest between the United States and Canada to make some type of improvements?
In the U.S., that somebody is Congress. Congress would need to appropriate half of the $20 million for the study. Lawmakers could take up the issue in September. New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton recently took a boat ride down the American Narrows to learn more. She disembarked with questions about oil spills, accidents, and the hazards of winter navigation.
This is not by any means an easy decision, a cost-free decision, that there are tremendous consequences associated with it. So give me your pictures, give me your information, because I'll use it to be, in conversations with people who just think it's an open and shut issue.
The issue will be shut rather quickly if the Corps' study can't persuade Canada to join in. Canada would have to foot the other half of the bill for the feasibility study. But officials from Transport Canada say they're in the very preliminary stages of studying the issue. And they're listening to everyone from shippers to environmentalists to recreational boaters before they make a decision. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm David Summerstein.